As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, blessed are you, creator and sustainer of the universe. Your spirit moved over the face of the waters that we may walk as children of light. And by your grace, reveal your presence now and always. Amen.
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 Please be seated. So nice to have people here. Really nice. Really nice. During the pandemic, and even now, home renovations in Canada, are you ready for this, reached $80 billion, an increase of 47%. Many of us were unable to travel, and apparently all that cash that would have been spent on vacations in Mexico and all those rest of places were spent on home renovations, kitchens, bathrooms, as well as smaller projects with windows, doors, and flooring. And I did have a conversation, actually, the other day with a local builder, the fellow who did my place, and he said they have never been busier than during the pandemic. And I think working from home increased, of course, and people were spending more time there, and I think they saw issues they may not have noticed before. One of the benefits of the pandemic is that we discovered home is indeed where the heart is. It is more than a place. It is where we have a sense that all is well with the world, that we can lay our burdens down and are safe and secure, no matter where or what is happening. And that is why homelessness is such a traumatic experience for human beings, because there is no place to decompress, to get warm, and to lay one's troubles down. And God wants to give us a home, a place where we can hang our spiritual hat and have a heart-to-heart conversation, drop all our pretenses, all the facades, and come clean. God wants to give us what we need in a home. And this is what God did when he chose to come in the person of Jesus Christ and what? Make his home among us. And God's place is the human heart, which has little to do with exterior paint or fancy furniture. And the passage from 2 Samuel speaks profoundly to what kind of home God is really looking for. David, the king of Israel, who is now settled in his palace. And I like this. The Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. He had time to think. Was he thinking about how he could bring his people closer to the Lord? Was he thinking about how great the Lord was, how kind, how generous, how life would be meaningless unless the Lord was involved in every detail? No. The text tells us that he figured the time had come to build a house suitable for the Lord to live in. Until then, we know that the Lord was kept in a tent. But here the Israelites are settled in a city. David believes it's time to build a house for the ark to be placed in. What I think is interesting is there's nothing in the text that indicates any prayer around this or any checking out with other people. What he does do is he calls for his spiritual advisor, Nathan. He says, look, what do you think about building a permanent place to put God? Nathan thinks it's a good idea. And he replies, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. He thinks it's a great idea. After all, David's the Lord's anointed. He must be right. But what could be better than to build a house for the Lord? It must be the right thing to do. Except for one thing. It is not the right thing to do. Even Nathan has jumped in too soon. I think that he makes the mistake that many of us make, assuming that just because something sounds like a good thing, it must be what God wants without waiting first to listen, watch, and patiently discern what it is that God really wants. And I'm not going to tell you the story about the dog because I know y'all have a bet on this one. But the dog, again, it was lack of discernment on my part. You can ask me later at coffee. Nathan had not gone away and asked God what God thought of the idea. He hadn't even prayed about it. So Nathan gets a shock when the word of the Lord comes to him to say, no. God tells David through Nathan, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I haven't lived in a house since the day you brought me up, the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. I've been moving around. David wanted to build a spanking new house for the Lord. He was all excited. He probably had the plans ready. But God said, no, I don't want it. So what was wrong with David building a house for God? Why did God put a stop to it? My take on this is that God saw that what David was after was a monument to David. The house of God that David wanted to build was not for God. It was for the king's reputation. It was for his legacy that will go down in history as what? The house that David built. May have had God's name on it, but that was a convenient cover-up. It was about David building a facade. A facade is not a home. It is not a place you can live in. A monument is not a home. It is not about the real you. It is a design to impress and nothing more. And our lives can be like that too. Like David, we can decide to do something dramatic and spectacular and convince ourselves it's for God. Maybe we can decide to be extra generous this month in the offering plate. Wink, wink, say no more. Not that I'm saying that. That in itself is bad, not bad. But who is it really for? Is it about making ourselves feel generous? Or is it about building a heart home for God that desires nothing other than God lives there? God tells us repeatedly in Scripture, I don't want empty nothings. What does he say in Hosea? For I desire mercy, no sacrifice and acknowledgement of God rather than a burnt offering. The prophet Samuel warns King Saul after Saul disobeys the Lord's command, and he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings? I don't think so. God says, I don't want to decorate a show house. I want you. I want to live in you and with you. Monuments, I don't need monuments. I need your heart. I don't want a house. I want a home, and I want that home to be you. Because a house is not a home. Don't build a house for me. God tells David, not only because it would have been a monument to David and not a temple for God, but that wasn't God's agenda. God's agenda is not building structures. God's agenda is building people. God's agenda is about investing in people's lives, their hearts and their souls, because God is a home builder. By the way, you don't have to go on a waiting list for God like you have to do in Powell River. David has it back to front again. He's in danger of forgetting the nature of the relationship with God. David was where he was because God had taken him from the pastures, from being a shepherd, to become the king of Israel. God is the one who brought him this peace, this rest from his enemies. And God is not finished with him yet, as God is not finished with us yet. God makes certain promises to David, that would be bigger than any building he could ever build. He wants to make his name great. He wants to give him children that will establish God's kingdom. Because David's house and his kingdom will endure forever. Solomon will build a physical home, and he will rule over Israel. There will be a king, descendant from David's line, that will establish God's kingdom forever. And who is it? That king is Jesus Christ, whose home is the human heart. God built a house, not a home. And the home that holds the people of God, the body of Christ, the church. We are the result of the promises made thousands of years ago. We stand in the line of David because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. This was always God's agenda. We may have great plans for ourselves, for our church, for our family, but God has a higher plan, a better plan for our loved ones and us than we could ever ask or imagine. God wants from us ready and willing hearts, faithful and trusting hearts that are homes to the redeeming and transforming love of Jesus Christ. Living lives as disciples, submitting all that we are and all that we have to his leadership, and then let him have free reign. God's agenda is lifting up the fallen, binding up the brokenhearted, healing the wounded, and forgiving the flawed. Because God's is always about building lives, making homes, not houses, making people, not monuments. Yep. We have our buildings. Yep. We need to take care of them. But our challenge, and I think this is on a daily basis, is to open our hearts so God can settle there, move in, lock, stock, and barrel, and then to be transformed, committed to building God's kingdom. So here's a question we may want to think about and reflect on this week. Has your heart made room for the Lord? Come, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. Let us pray. Dear loving and eternal Lord God, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gates of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit light give light to the world. For you, Jesus, are the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, now and forever. Amen.